It is always a privilege to be able to share from the Word of God with you. And listen, I don't know about you, but we've just gotten over the celebration of Holy Week, the holiest week in Christendom, when we celebrate, recognize, and celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, we at the Highlands had just a very full week with two services on Friday, the Good Friday services, which were just awesome. Then we had the three services one service on Saturday, three services on Sunday. And I was just, we were just overwhelmed. This was one of the most fruitful celebrations that we've had in a long time. It was just tremendous response. I think there were over 100 souls saved, where people just said yes to Jesus, and all over the entire weekend, and from Good Friday to the Saturday service, beginning our Resurrection Sunday celebrations, to our sunrise service, and to the other services on Sunday. And I don't know if you can tell, but man, I'm telling you, I am catching my wind right now. I was sucking air, and I'm getting my second wind now. And that alone just kind of made me reflect on something that I'd like to share with you. Just, you know, after we celebrate the death, burial, celebrate and recognize the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior, and after across the nation, across the world, people had all types of pageants and plays and special presentations to share what a wonderful, awesome, and magnanimous sacrifice it was that God gave His Son, and that His Son gave His life for us. And not just the act on the cross, but what led up to the cross, even. All, I mean, everything was just so significant. But central to this whole acknowledgement of the sacrifice that Christ made, and central to the celebration of His death, burial, and resurrection, is the cross. Now, so as I said, you know, we had all these celebrations, we had all these services, all these wonderful things happened, you know, all of these people came to know the Lord and said yes to Jesus. So after the celebration, after the pageant, you know, even we had in our atrium, there was this cross that was probably, oh, it stood to, at least 18 to 20 feet tall. And then we had another cross for our sunrise service, which probably was about 10 feet tall or so. And at the end of these celebrations, they're going to take those crosses and they're going to pack them away. They're going to put them away, store them for until the next time. So that, for me, that stirred up something in me. And I said to myself, then what do we do with the cross? What do, I mean, it's not like with the plays and the pageants, and they put them away until the next Easter or the next resurrection celebration. What do we do with it? What are you going to do with the cross? What are you going to do with that? That heavy symbol of the wonderful, awesome, terrible awe and inspiring thing that took place on Golgotha Hill, on Calvary. What are you going to do? What is the relevance of the cross in your life after the resurrection? I guess that's what I wanted. And it begs a question. So what are we going to do with it? They put it away. They pack them away until the next celebration. But you can't just pack it away. What is the relevance? It begs to be understood. It begs to be. We need to understand the relevance of the cross. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So the cross is central. The Bible is showing us here that Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. And the writer of the book of Hebrews almost he sets this up so that you could see that Jesus, in order to finish the work, had to endure the cross. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. In order for this Christian faith, in order for this the plan of salvation to be whole, Jesus had to go through the cross. And what was his motivation? The Bible says he did so because of the joy that was set before him. What was that joy? That joy, my friend, was your redemption and my redemption. The fact that you and I would have the opportunity to escape this present darkness and ultimately eternal darkness. Let me say that again. So that you and I would have the opportunity to escape this present darkness and it ultimately eternal darkness. Because the Bible says that he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That all provision necessary for us to be productive, fruitful, and to have a fullness of joy, and to enjoy our lives here, God sent his son to pay the price on the cross. And so Jesus took great joy in being able, and that was his motivating force, that he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him, that you and I would be redeemed or have the opportunity to be redeemed from this present darkness and the darkness that will come to those eternally who go into, who leave this world without a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because right now he's sitting on the right hand of the throne of God, and he's making intercession for us. When the enemy tries to accuse you and I of anything, he's saying to his father, I got him covered. I got her covered. They're with me. He's making intercession for you and I. So the purpose and power of the cross was transformed when Jesus, not only when he died, but when he was resurrected from the grave, he took power over what was supposed to be an instrument of death, an instrument of torture and punishment. There was nothing pretty about the cross. You see people today with crosses on, and they have diamonds, and they have their bling bling, and they're shiny and they're pretty, but that wasn't a pretty thing. That instrument was designed to kill people. It was designed to torture and to take the life of people. But when Jesus resurrected from the grave, he took authority over death. When he got up out of the grave, he changed the way the world would view the cross going forward for all eternity. Because everyone knew that was a Roman design, and it was meant not only to torture and kill, but it was also meant to put shame to people. They would put them on the cross and literally rip their clothes off, and they're hanging there for all the world to see. And it was a slow death. They would literally suffocate because they couldn't breathe. Their ribs and their upper body would be, their core would be resting on their lungs, and it was difficult for them to breathe. And they would actually, some would just choke and choke on their own blood, and or not being able to breathe, and just literally die a slow and painful, torturous death. There was nothing pretty about the cross, my friend. You can go to Tiffany's and they have crosses with all kinds of jewels and bedecked with rubies and diamonds, but there's nothing pretty about the cross. You see, Jesus changed. It was almost as if it was electric, and he changed the polarity. He changed what was meant to be evil and torturous and something that was designed to bring death, and it brought life. You see, the Bible says that if the princes of this world, had they known who he was, they wouldn't have even crucified him. Because by one son sacrificing his life, God has gained many. Oh yeah, there's the door is open and there's room. That's when we sing that song that says, there's room at the cross for you. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the fact that when Jesus died, He rent the temple open. He tore it open. Anybody could come in. It didn't matter who you are. Don't matter where you start out. Don't matter where you come from. Don't matter the skin color, what language you speak. It doesn't matter what you used to believe. If you believe that Jesus died for you, then he has opened the door to eternity for you. Even one man hang on the cross with him. Because it was just so awesome how God put his son in context, how there was two men who were sinners and who deserved to be punished on either side of him. And here Jesus was in the middle, innocent. And even as he gave his life, even as he sacrificed his life, even as he was going through the torture, and he had the same physical body that these gentlemen had, and yet he took the time to have a conversation with the one that believed and just simply said, Lord, I believe. Can you say that today? Can you say, Lord, I believe? Romans 10 says that if you believe in your heart, if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, you shall be saved. Do you believe today? Do you believe? So, as I said, the origin of the cross, the purpose was for torture and pain and punishment. But by defeating physical death, the ultimate design of the cross, when Jesus did that, and I'd like to say this for a lack of a better phrase, he literally reversed the polarity from evil to good. You know, like if you go to somewhere in a house or a car or something, and somebody reverses the polarity of the electricity, it'll discombobulate that machine or whatever that electrical component is, blow up in your face. And that's what Jesus, the plan, that the strategy of the devil, blew up in his face. If you put a negative and on a positive where there's supposed to be a negative, you're gonna cause some problems. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. He brought positivity where there was negativeness. He brought love where there was hate. I love the fact that, you know, I heard a man say once, and it was a great man. He said, listen, the only thing that can drive out darkness is light. He says, and hate can't drive out love. Hate can't drive out hate. Only love can do that. And that's what God did when he gave his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. He gave his son. He loved on us and drove, and in doing so, gave us the power to be cleansed, to have sin driven out of our lives, to have hate driven out of our hearts. Jesus just discombobulated the enemy. He reversed the polarity and made his strategy blow up in his face. Isn't that wonderful? And he did that at the cross. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1, for the preaching of the cross is to them that